I would just encourage accounting firms to take a look at that website and skinny it down, get more specific. What are the three things you want a visitor to know about your firm and know about the services that you provide? Get your books up to offer for businesses. Get your books up to date, some basic level reporting, and maybe some budgeting and forecasting. Start there.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Strategy and the Virtual Controller. Next podcast, and it's me, Penny, now starting it because I am going to interview Damien. And the reason I'm interviewing Damien Greathead out there in Sydney is because he's the marketing guru, and I am definitely not. So I'm in Casper, Wyoming, and it is a beautiful sunny afternoon. And Damien, you are in Sydney, correct?
I'm in Sydney, yeah. Penny, how are you? It's a little bit of a miserable day. It's obviously spring in the Northern Hemisphere. We're in fall or autumn down here. Actually, winter, first day of winter is not too far away. Which
right, the first day of summer.
First day of summer.
Wow. Yeah. Got a little late this weekend. Yeah.
And how are you? And how are you enjoying the Wyoming environs in terms of any new sort of things? What's spring like in the mountains compared to San Diego?
Wet. Last week it was snowing. This week it's in the 80s. It rained a lot. I noticed by the time the snow cleared and the rain stopped, the grass was about mid-calf high. So it's springtime in the Rockies. What can I say? And I forgot about the allergies that I get when I'm living in Wyoming in the spring. So because the wind. But it's a beautiful day. Beautiful.
And Penny, why on earth do you want to interview me and talk about marketing? I mean, there's, for all the accountants that we talk to, they're absolutely snowed under. They don't have the capacity to do additional work. So why on earth would we be talking about marketing today?
Well, that was going to be my question to you, and you gave it to me, so I'm going to give it right back to you. So I get calls from people in Wyoming because we are a Wyoming corporation. And we'll list it. And if they do a Google search, there's nothing on my website that necessarily pushes that I'm going to do your bookkeeping and stuff. It really talks about outsourcing to us. However, because the word accounting and bookkeeping does show up, I get calls, people who want an accountant and bookkeeper. And I tried to go give them to James, who we just interviewed. He's like, no, I only want
this particular time. Yeah.
And so advertising can be misleading. And just because you're overwhelmed, or just because you think you have enough business, should you stop advertising? And what exactly does your marketing and advertising do besides get you clients? So I wanted to talk about how maybe we need to change, maybe. I mean, we talk about CAS. That is definitely... Years ago, when I was a school teacher, I was sitting there having a conversation with some friends, and I started throwing out acronyms that we used in the school all the time. And they were looking at me like going, no idea what you're talking about.
Mm.
And so what does CAS mean to you?
Well, that's always been the thing, hasn't it? Like you go to an accountant's website and you and I know accounting, so we know what we're looking at, but small business owner, maybe not. Business owner, no. Maybe not. So, yeah, it is interesting. And quite randomly, I'm wearing my MailChimp t-shirt today. I don't think I meant to do that, but I think you bring up an interesting point around, first and foremost, if we're literally beating off people with a stick and we've got inbound phone calls coming in from prospective clients and that type of thing, do we really need to market? And what type of marketing do we need to do? And actually, it's sort of quite interesting is, perhaps if we do have a lot of inbound queries that aren't the right type of inbound queries, then yeah, we've got to take a look at how are they finding us? What are they learning about us? What's our website saying about us? And even our own clients, what are our clients telling their friends and family about? We love referrals, absolutely. But are they the right referrals? And so I think, again, I think some people think of marketing and it's a bit of a dirty word in accounting. I got into accounting, so I don't have to do marketing. So I don't have to do selling. But I think that then that means that there's no intention about it and your business is growing by whatever walks through the door. Whereas I think for the most part, it's a really great opportunity for firm owners to actually sit down and say, okay, what's the ideal type of client? Who are the types of clients I want to work with? Go back to it's not just the numbers in chapter one or two, where it talks about what is it that you want to do? And I think there's, again, this sort of conversation can go in a number of ways. And one way is, first and foremost, let's just make sure that our shop front, which for all intents and purposes, isn't the shingle sitting outside our door, but actually is our website. What does our website say about us? And I spoke to a couple of firms recently, and they said, oh yeah, we haven't touched our website in so long because we don't need to, because we've got so much work coming through the door. I thought, okay, well, hang on. Are we missing something there? Because who else is coming to your website? Your current customers are coming to your website or regularly, because there's a portal there and document exchange. So are we missing a trick there? Obviously prospective clients, but that's not the major concern. But who else might be coming to the website? Who else might be? And if it's sort of one of your team members or one of your prospective team members coming to your website, what's that saying about you? And that one actually resonated with one of the firms I was talking to, because they said, oh, I didn't actually think about that. Yes, we're always recruiting, and we're always looking for resumes and that type of stuff. And most resumes typically come through, again, referrals. And I said, well, it's one thing for one of your team members or your clients to say it's a great firm, you should work there. But I jump on the website and have a look, and I'm like, oh, it looks a bit outdated. Don't know about that. So anyway, the conversation can go down many paths, but I do think, even if you're not necessarily looking for new clients, I think there's a real opportunity for firms just to take a look at their shop front, their website, take a look at how they communicate with their current clients. You might not actually need new clients, because there might be an enormous amount of opportunity sitting within your client base, and that's a way to go. So maybe it is the newsletter. I got an email from my accountant actually talking about something, and actually had nothing in that newsletter caught my attention, but actually in terms of the topics, but actually just the fact that he emailed me, or the firm emailed me, prompted me to be like, oh, I did have a question though. Let me respond to the email to say, and I said, hi, Stu, love the newsletter. Got me thinking about something completely different. So any chance we can tee up a time to talk about X. And it was sort of a realization that it's not necessarily the content of the newsletter, but it's the firm name through my inbox. And as I scan down the inbox and delete all the spam, I see my accounting firm and I'm like, oh shit, I've got a question for them that I need to chat with. And so
that you need to chat with them about, and it's not during your tax season down there, or a question about necessarily taxes, and somebody contacted you in the off season about something, because money goes in and out all year long.
Yeah, yeah. And so my accountant said, Damien, great question. Absolutely. This is the person on my team to talk to about that. I'll have them give you a call. And fantastic. Like that level of service I know it's an automated newsletter, and it probably comes from different sources and different sort of RSS feeds in terms of how it comes together. But it's just putting my accountant at the top of my sort of mental space. And yeah, it did the trick. And seeing that newsletter come through 12 times a year just means that, not necessarily that my accountant's thinking about me, but I have accounting questions, tax questions throughout the year. It doesn't all just happen one time a year. So, and I'm sure as a result of that newsletter, he will pick up additional projects as a result from me. And so imagine if you're sort of looking at that across your client base, if you've got a good newsletter going out every month, and that's just prompting your current client base to pick up the phone and give you a call. Like there's so much opportunity that's sitting within our current client base that we don't have to do Google ads. We don't have to do pay per click and all that type of stuff. A good website, a good newsletter system, good referral system. And I think going back to that first comment and going back to the last episode about James, being very clear on the types of clients you want to work with, you will have more new firm revenue than you've ever had before. Three very simple things. Being very intentional about the client you're looking for. No, four things. Intentional about the client you're looking for, good referral system, website, newsletter, done.
Could I just add, make sure it's mobile enabled, because
Absolutely.
When you want to grab young people to come to work for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're going to look for jobs on their phone. And the first thing they're going to do is check out your site.
Well, also, the newsletter came while I was on the bus on the way to work. So so that's where I read the newsletter. So same, and then, yes, clicked a link and popped onto the website, learned a little bit more in the blog article, and then replied on the bus to say, hey, Stu, can we talk about this? So, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is a very much a mobile world.
And I think that it's mobile in a lot of ways. It's mobile in that employees are leaving firms that are holding them back.
Yeah.
Last year, when we spoke about that young lady that was going to give up for going getting her CPA because she didn't think it was worth it when she sees how her boss lives and what he's like, and she doesn't want to be that. And then she ended up going to another firm. But that's it. I mean, if you can also attract the right kind of employee if you're honest and open and clear about your intentions on your website. The frustration I'm hearing from a lot of people who are not firm owners, I hate the word firm, but they're not owners of the accounting business.
Yep.
Or the supposed CAS business is that it's not what they told me it would be. And I don't think that these kids don't want to work. I mean, it's just that they don't want to work stupid. And they don't have the same outcomes. So you've got to talk to them differently. You've got to find them in different places. And even my website is out of date.
Oh, very much so, Penny. Yeah.
I know. And I know that's what prompted me to do this is, why am I getting these calls? Because I need to revamp my website.
Yeah.
And not that I don't mind. I mean, I've given up a lot of business to a lot of first. And felt like, no, I know somebody who could do that for you. But the funny thing is, when they do call, they don't really know what they want.
Yeah, good point. Or they think they want bookkeeping and tax or whatever it is, but they don't know everything else that's sitting on your website.
So that's my next question. So say you are having people come in and contact you. Who's checking the funnel and finding out whether, oh God, this is going to be old school stuff. You go from suspect to prospect to...
They're not called suspects anymore, Fanny.
Yeah, told you it was old school. But how do you funnel that out?
Oh,
You're getting calls all the time, right? Who's dealing with those calls when they commit?
Oh, no one. No, that's the other thing is the calls are coming in, but it might go to voicemail. There might be an email. Accountants aren't replying. Accountants aren't calling them back.
And I even had one accountant said, could you help me find a VA? A virtual assistant. Actually, I've had that happen more than once. And I'm going, well, what do you want them to do? I just want them to respond to people and going, you realize that you need to teach them what it is you want them to ask, because they're just going to shove everybody into your calendar.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they outsource to us, it's like they just, here, clean up this set of books. Wait a minute. Tell me who this person is, what this company is, what's going on. I mean, we can look at the file and see what is technically wrong, but you need to have a little bit of background before you make a decision on whether or not you want to even do the work.
And it's just like generative AI, Gen AI. You've got to train the model in terms of what you're looking for. You can't just sort of plug something in. And typically it's 6 and 7 iterations of a particular prompt that gets you to where you want to go. So whether it's a virtual assistant, whether it's what you've got to tell her what you want. So
when you write a term paper in school, when you're in high school and they teach you how to write term papers, first thing I remember my junior year high school teacher putting a big circle on the wall, on the board and go, okay, give me a topic. Oh, that's a really right on the board. That's a broad topic. Okay, now let's take a little, and you basically built a Venn diagram, top of a Venn diagram. And then you finally chiseled it down into an actual topic that you could write a paper on. Mm-hmm. Starts off broad. So you've got calls coming in on your website because people are interested in doing business with you. And how many times is it not fit your business? You take it in. Or do you have potential employees calling you? And now who's answering that? Does that go to voicemail? You're saying you can't hire anybody. What does it look like when they come into you? Merchant?
Oh, but Penny, that's the other thing as well, is when you say they can't find anyone, they can't hire anyone, take a long, hard look at yourself, because the firms that I know, my accountant doesn't have problems finding people. It's not that there aren't people out there. It's that they just don't want to work for you.
I have a client who, you're going to listen to this though, it doesn't matter. Anyways, he said, I want you to guarantee that I will have the same people working for me the whole time I'm working with you. He's been working with us for 5 years. He's had the same team leader. We've had people move in and out of the team, but they pretty much stay there for a year or two. I think we've had probably maybe four changes on a four-seater in 5 years. I can't tell you how many changes he's had in his office in the 5 years we've worked with. And I know why he said that. It's because he couldn't keep his own employees. And to tell you the truth, they draw shots. The short straw gets on that team in my office. You know what it's like to look. It's insane.
But as you said, you've had four changes in 4 years. That's, it might be the short straw, but it sounds like it's a pretty
once
stable
they get
short.
On, they pretty much stay on it.
Yeah.
Because it's very detailed and it's very unique work that they're doing that's unique to that particular type of industry. So yeah. But still, it's like,
I think going back to sort of the original question, Penny, it's sort of, do we need to market?
Yeah,
Think of it differently. Think of it, how are we communicating? What's our shop front telling the world about us? And how are we communicating with our prospects? How are we communicating with our current clients, our referral sources, our prospective employees? Think about it more holistically about, rather than marketing and Google pay-per-click and search engine optimization, just let's make sure that our shop front is in good shape. And again, if our referral sources know the types of clients that we're looking for or the types of team members we're looking for, or our referral network knows the type of firm we are, that we're paperless, that we're tech-enabled, that we're not a tax-heavy firm, we're working year-round, we've got balance in our lives, the referrals for team members, the referral for clients, they will, I won't say that, they will come knocking. They will absolutely come knocking. And I think, again, if the firm owner is saying, I can't find people, I can't find the staff, I think you've probably got to take a look at yourself, look at the firm, look at the shop front, and think about your sort of 25-year-old self. Would you want to work there? Would your kids want to work there? And again, there are certain firms that don't have this problem. And
true. That is really quite true. I have some clients, and you've met a few of them, where people enjoy working there. They're happy.
Yep.
They're not overworked. Their roles
not underpaid.
Not underpaid. Their roles are defined, but flexible on their goals and
focused on outcomes for the client. I loved what James said last week, in just in terms of my clients don't know what they want.
None of the happy ones track time, except for process improvement.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not billable hourly.
It's not billable yet. And I do think if there is a real opportunity again, I don't think it's significant structural foundational changes that firms need to make, but it's taking those small steps where putting the tools in place to enable that flexible work environment, putting tools like MailChimp in place that communicate more regularly with clients. And that's the other thing as well. It's just that regular communication with me as a client. Our end of financial year is coming up at the end of June. I'm already thinking about what I need to, getting my stuff and what are my questions for my accountant and all that type of stuff. So as a result of that newsletter, I'm getting myself organized. Not particularly well, but I'm thinking about it now, not a week before the deadline, a week before the due date for my return. And again, I think that's the other aspect of it, is more regular communication with clients puts the firm at the sort of the top of the client's sort of mental space. So they're already thinking about end of financial year, what have I got to do for my accountant? Where are my records? Let me get those in order. Let me start uploading them or giving access to them or whatever it is. And you can just tell the level of service is so much better than the vast majority of firms are providing. And it's not difficult stuff for firms to
implement. It's interesting in that you hear the big number one complaint of, all clients, and the number one block in the movement of work getting done is, where's the document?
Yeah.
And so many people, if you're not reaching out and touching your clients, don't be surprised if you don't get those documents when you need them. And yet, if you are a top of mind awareness, you can always add, there's a link to the portal if you need to upload anything to us in your newsletter.
If you think we need it, send it through.
Yeah, exactly. I know.
Take a photo of it and send it through.
Yeah, really. Because that is whenever we get involved in somebody's workflow, well, look at all these open tasks. We're all waiting and information. I think that you have to be very cognizant of the type of marketing you're doing. I would like to see, and I don't know if anybody finds it worthwhile, is to take that old idea of a theme to write a term paper and put up client advisory services on the wall.
Well, I was just
put a circle around it and then start drilling down to what your view of client advisory services is.
And I was just thinking about your website and why are small business owners calling you for accounting and bookkeeping services as if you were a traditional bookkeeper? And it's because
of Wyoming with all those pictures of Indians. Not Wyoming. They're not the Arapaho or the Cheyenne I'm talking about.
Got it. Yeah, that makes much more sense. I think you take a look at your website, folks. Is your website specific? Does it talk to the language of your clients, or is it just a sort of a verbal diarrhea of accounting terminology and accounting acronyms that another accountant would know, but a small business owner wouldn't have a clue on? And also, are there services on there that maybe you've never provided, maybe provided once in the last 5 years, or are there services that you don't want to provide but they're on there because the template that you purchased has them or something along those lines. And I would just encourage accounting firms to take a look at that website and skinny it down, get more specific. What are the three things you want a visitor to know about your firm and know about the services that you provide? Again, I go to a lot of websites and there's a long list of services. I don't know the value proposition of those services. I don't know why I, as a small business owner, need them. I don't know how they relate to each other. Like you look at that list and it looks, it's just a series of every service that you've ever provided under the sun. I don't know how they relate. Do I start at the top and work my way down to the bottom? So I think there's a lot of work that accountants can do. And I think as well, simplify it, skinny it down. What's the entry point for most firms? Get your books up to offer for businesses. Get your books up to date, some basic level reporting, and maybe some budgeting and forecasting. Start there. And if that's your definition of CAS, start there. And as James said last week on the last episode, it's from having good numbers and also the space to think. That's where all the additional work comes from, not from his website, but because of the conversations that he has with his clients from that ground level of good quality, timely books.
And he's taking time with the clients.
Yeah, yeah.
And the clients aren't afraid to take time with him because he's already established the scope of the engagement. And I liked what you said about a template. When a call comes in, how do you deal with the incoming call from either a prospective client or from a prospective employee? Who's answering that call? Is it getting answered or is it just going to voicemail and not getting picked up? Maybe there are more people like me who don't like check their voicemail once in a while. But who's checking it and who's following up and what are they saying? That's one of the things, like when we get to the point where we feel comfortable and the firm feels comfortable with us actually sending queries out to their clients, I always go, nope, you give me a template. How do you want these queries
done? How do you?
What's your verbiage? What do you say in your firm that makes, because I don't want it going out like in the syntax.
Petty. Or yours.
Or me. That's right.
You'd have the whole question in the subject line.
I know. Really? I do. Well, it's like I'm dyslexic when I type, so it's going to come out bad. So I'm dyslexic anyways.
Your point actually is, like, before you even go marketing, let's just say that you do want to market, you do want to grow, you want to get aggressive. before you even do that, make sure you've got your systems and processes in place from a sales process in terms of exactly like, do you have that template for the questions that you're going to ask? Do you have a follow-up system for them? What are you going to send them? Do you have a brochure or something that you're going to send them? What does the About Us say about the website? Yeah, so I think it's a good point. Before you go spending marketing dollars, make sure you're ready to receive inbound or out. Make sure you're ready. You've got your systems and processes to follow up correctly. I was chatting with one of our, she's implemented MailChimp into her practice, and that's been an incredibly important part of her marketing program because it actually automates a lot of the follow-up. So for example, Penny, you call and basically you're saying, oh, I need some help with this. And so as a result of that, I'm like, oh, how did you hear about us? What types of services can you provide us? Okay, we start the conversation, but Penny, can I grab your email address and I'll just send you some information about the firm and that type of stuff. And as a result of doing that, trips off a series of 5 emails that talk about the firm, talk about the types of services that we provide, talk about the types of clients that we work with, provide some testimonials, some case studies of different businesses that we've helped. But that's, so while the conversation is still happening, so yes, we still have follow-up calls and we're learning about the scope of the job. The client, the prospective client is getting a series of automated emails that reassure, reaffirm, provide more insight. And her success rate has gone through the roof. I think she's sort of at a, let's just say a 99% close rate of the clients that she wants.
Clients she wants.
Yeah.
Not just the ones who
doesn't lose. She doesn't lose many clients.
That's great.
As a result of this process that she's built out and iterates and refines, because again, she was sort of conscious of, I don't want to go down this marketing path and growth, or this marketing path, but then for things to fall through the cracks and things to fall out the bottom. And I know a lot of firms, again, I don't think pay-per-click and all that type of stuff is as prevalent as it used to be, but they would spend a lot on marketing, get a lot of inbound queries, but then not have any systems and processes to enable the follow-up. And so, yeah, they'd pick up 1 or 2 clients, but not what they should have, certainly not what the marketing consultant promised them. And they have a bad taste in their mouth as it, from marketing. But it's not the marketing per se, it's the lack of systems and processes.
Once it starts working.
Yeah, yeah. And
because hanging on your shingle used to be scary. Will anybody come? Well, if my crappy website that doesn't even promote bookkeeping and accounting, people that call me, they're going to call. And you need to funnel them out. You need to narrow the focus on what you want. And you need to set up, like I do, to attract what it is that you want to bring in instead of wasting calls with, well, it's never a waste if you can get the business for somebody else.
But also, the other thing as well is that
not everybody has the time. I'm not an accountant. I'm not overwhelmed with debits and credits.
So. Yeah. I was just going to say is even so Suna, who I was just talking about, the prospective clients that don't become clients, they're still in the database. They still get the newsletter. They still get the unsubscribe rate is very low, but they still get the newsletter. They still get the updates on what's happening in her firm, but also how she's helping clients. She actually has in her newsletter, which is actually really interesting, she spotlights a client every newsletter to say SNN, meet our client SNN Financial, for example. Here are the services that they provide. And so amazingly, her newsletter is promoting her clients. Imagine that as a look.
Rachel does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does that. She sends out a newsletter and promotes it with, she has a client spotlight in every newsletter. And she also does an employee spotlight.
Yes. Yeah, same. Yep. That was in my accountant's newsletter was, and again, I sort of scanned through it. And then lo and behold, a couple of newsletters ago was actually the accountant that does my work. Because I know the partner doesn't do my work. So the accountant that does my work and I have most of the exchange with, she was there. And so I was like, oh, it was good just to learn a little bit more about her. So I think that's sort of an interesting aspect as well.
She doesn't have any problem, just like Rachel doesn't, on hiring employees.
No. And
she just hired 3. She said, I'm going to tell you, we're cutting back on this particular task for your team. for the month of June. I just want to warn you, we're not upset. We just hired 3 people. I need to let them train them on how we work with you. So I'm giving them the work that you do.
And then I'll give it back to you.
And then I'll give it back to you once we have them trained. But she had no problem hiring 3 people.
But isn't that an interesting aspect as well? It's sort of like from a training program and a training, here are some skills that we need you to learn. Once you've learned them, bank them. You'll call on them every now and then, but that's not your job. It's not going to be the same day in, day out of doing that task month in, month out. And again, I think a lot of firms fall into that trap of there isn't the same career progression in that you see in other industries, because once the new financial year clicks over, you essentially back to zero and you do the same work in those compliance heavy businesses. Whereas again, if you're in that CAS advisory space, yes, you're doing the monthly recurring work, but assuming you've got the space to do the thinking, there's a whole bunch of special projects that can come out of that. Yes. And I think a lot of creative thinking that can actually happen in accounting, which again, people think accounting, creative thinking probably don't go together, but I disagree. And James's example last week or last episode sort of really drove that home for me, is that yes, there's the routine work, the debits, the credits, the payroll, the monthly reports, the monthly close, but it's then having the time and space to look at those numbers to then be like, hey, Penny, I noticed this. I think it's worthwhile we grab some time to chat about it.
I mean, that's as a non-accountant and as a business owner and like my 5th business, that's what I always wanted.
Yeah.
That's what I was always looking for. I mean, I'm back here in Casper and just drove by the old CPA's office that my ex told the story better than me because he's a raconteur and he can really ramp a story up. But it was true. He had the data that would have saved us. I was 24 at the time. He just afterwards, after everything came falling down, goes, well, didn't you read those P&Ls I sent you?
No, I don't know.
I had a somebody we do direct work by and she's trying to sell her business. She goes, my business broker wants to know where on the P&L is my draw. And I emailed her back and I said, if he's asking you where it is on the P&L, first of all, you're an LLC and it's a partner distribution unit. It's on the balance sheet. It's not on the P&L.
Yeah, it's a lie. You're looking in the wrong place.
That's the question he asked you, because I'm sure he's more intelligent than that.
And he's looking in the wrong place. Actually, you sort of say that you were driving past. I always remember I worked for Chris Fredrickson and was a partner with him at 2020, and he has a CPA firm as well. And his number one marketing piece was the on the 101. So he had a big sign. He bought the number 415-924-1040. And that firm specialized in high net worth individuals. High net worth individuals driving up the 101 into Marin County, seeing the phone number there.
Well, you'll find them.
Yeah, exactly. But a very defined sales process in terms of when the call came in, the questions, the process, and when it was a client, when it was a client that they wanted, I'd say 8-9 times out of 10, brought them on board easily enough. But it was he has a very strong sales and marketing approach to his firm, and a very process driven on that sales process side. And again, the sign, that was the number one. How did you hear about us? Oh, I saw you. He always knew. How did you hear about us? Oh, I saw your sign. Always ask the question. Website. And then what he did realize as well is the website needed some work, so upgraded that, which was good. But yeah, he always asked, how did you hear about us? And the sign just got bigger and bigger because the ROI was there.
My friend Paula, when she moved from Granite City, Illinois out to San Diego, she goes, oh my God, I got to start all over again. I said, you get this nice big car, magnetic sign. I do QuickBooks, phone number. Boom. Had a business.
Yeah.
Just like that.
And again, that's the thing. I think if we sort of wrap up this episode, I think there is so much work out there, but you have to be very clear on the type of work that you want to do. First and foremost, you have that conversation with yourself and your team. And I love that idea of get it up on the board, go broad, and then narrow it down. And what's the type of stuff that we want to do? chapter one of the book. It's not just the numbers. Be intentional about what is it that you want to do when you grow up? What is the stuff you don't want to do? Put that on the board as well and put that over on another part of the wall. But then become very specific about what you want to do. Make sure the team's bought into it. Make sure the team can communicate it. And then look at the website. What does the website say about us? What do our referral sources say about us? What do our clients say about us? And start to think about the ways in which you can change or help your clients, your referral sources, your team better understand the types of clients you're looking for, the types of services that you can provide. And I got to think that a lot of folks think that new business means new clients, but actually sitting within your client base, I would imagine there's an enormous amount of opportunity. So something like a newsletter, it's simple to get up and running, spotlight a client, highlight a client. There's one section of the web of the newsletter, spotlight a team member. There's another section of the newsletter. And then the various updates and whatnot.
All at the end. Put the boring stuff at the end.
Yeah, true. Yeah. And you'll find that people won't necessarily call about this month's topic, but they will call because they're like, oh, shit, that reminded me. I needed to ask a question or I wanted to speak to you about something. So
I only remind us no matter how old we are, because the world is turning very quickly and we're getting constantly inundated with stuff. And so a little reminder can bring me back to really what that pain was at the time. So,
and absolutely. And it's just, it's literally, I don't read every newsletter, but I sort of, when it comes through, I sort of quick look, quick glance, something catches my eye.
I bet you read it when you are having an issue.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I go back and I search
Oh my God, I remember it. I just said a problem now, and I remember 3 months ago he said something about it. Yeah. Okay.
Let me go find that. Yeah. No. I mean, give it back to the original question, Penny. Do we need to market? Absolutely.
Yes.
Don't think we've got to communicate. We've got to talk to our clients. We've
got to talk to our clients. Just be cognizant of what you're marketing to and what your marketing is. Unlike me, don't be like me. Be like Damien.
Well, no, I mean, Penny, I think it's a good point in terms of the types of clients that you want to work with, the types of clients that you do great work for, but I don't think that necessarily shines through on your website, for example.
I know it doesn't.
So all got a bit of homework to do. Well, folks, I think we could sort of even just that comment around what does your website say to prospective employees or team members? I think that's the other thing as well. You might not be looking for new clients or more work.
Yeah, and don't put on a website and say you work this way with your team members, because if they read it and it's bullshit.
Yeah, the number of firms that I've walked into and they're client-centric and this and that and whatever, and you walk into it and it's, you can feel your life getting sucked out of you as soon as you sort of walk into the office.
Yeah.
It's like, take a look at yourself is what I would say. But anyway, Penny,
we could talk. Offices are scary, but accounting offices can be a desert.
Yeah, but they don't have to be. There's no reason why they have to be. I go back into, I've gone into a lot of fun, bright, creative accounting firms. So there is another way and a better way of doing it. And if you might be listening to this and you're like, oh, I work for one of those firms that's a bit dull, a bit life sucking and all that type of stuff. Let me tell you, there's some great firms out there. So,
and they're looking for people who want to work differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Penny, I think we could talk on this topic for quite some time, but folks, if you've enjoyed today's episode, do us a favor, share it on your social networks, share it with one of your colleagues or one of your friends. Send us a note. You can find Penny on LinkedIn. You can find myself on LinkedIn. And obviously, jump up. Penny, what is your website?
MoneyPennyLLC.com. Don't go there because you're going to hate it. I do.
MoneyPennyLLC.com. And then send us a note about your thoughts. But Penny, always a pleasure. We will see you next time for the next episode of Strategy in the Virtual Controller.
Yeah, I'm going to be going to Scaling, and Namila, Shamela, and Raj will be coming over from India.
Oh, there we go. Good one.
Yeah, so we'll be down at Scaling New Heights in June in Orlando. And yeah, they're flying in for that because it's a long week and they have lots of family that are coming in. So at the end of it, I'm going to Naples to see some friends and they have a ton of family coming in from the Northeast.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Well, folks, if you're heading to Scaling New Heights in Orlando in June, make sure you keep an eye out for Penny and Namila and Shamela and Raj.
Raj, yeah, our new first male employee. Yes.
Well, keep an eye out for that Fab Four and enjoy scaling new heights. Say hello to Joe if you see him. And ladies and gentlemen, have a wonderful time, and we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks, Penny.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.